And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We got a whole lot going on today's program. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us a little bit later in the program. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans, all things NFL. That's coming up at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll have the best and worst things in sports later this hour at 6:45. I will lay out my plan for what the Titans will do this weekend to take down the Indianapolis Colts in the 7 o'clock hour. And the Nashville Predators opening up training camp today. Hockey season is back. So we will get into that a little bit later in the show. As well, Joe Rex Road, fresh off the Pixies concert. How we doing? Good morning. What's going on?
Aha, there goes the unmute. We're doing well. The show is great. For anybody who's been to the Pinnacle's great. The guy checking IDs said he enjoys listening to us in the morning. So
that's good
there
to know.
You go. That's right.
Shout out to him.
There you go. So, yeah, very good show. So that's my third time seeing them. So and you can't miss the Pixies if you have a chance. But starting at 9 is a little. Yeah. There were two opening bands, you know, which is a little much. So the set not starting until 9 on a school night, you know, that's a little dicey. But I guess that's what we've been talking about all week, right? Stuff that just starts ridiculously late. So
yeah, at least it wasn't 11. You're going to be dealing with that on Saturday.
Yeah, well, maybe some people will. Good luck to them. But another thing meanwhile, I was also kind of annoyed because, I was out, went with some friends and, like, you know, got food, got pizza and stuff before, but I'm, you know, trying to stream the Tigers game the whole night. And the Detroit Tigers could potentially be on their way to one of the all-time chokes. Now, if they win today, then it's probably moot, but they've lost 2 straight to Cleveland. Their lead is down to 4.5. They've led that division by 16.5. They have Cleveland at Cleveland for 3 more after this. So if Cleveland wins today, it's 3.5.
Oh boy.
With 9 to play, with 3 games at Cleveland, which is insane because, of course, the Tigers used to have the biggest lead, and now they might not even have end up with the third best record in the American League. So just, you know, I know people said that they're Tigers fans. Now I just want to give you an update in case you haven't been following along. This is, we're getting to crisis level here.
I've got complete faith in them. They're getting their rough stretch out of the way right now. They're going to get it back together here in a game or two, and they'll be full bore by the time the playoffs run around here in Major League Baseball. I've got entirely good faith in the Detroit Tigers. No doubt about it. Ian Safar, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Good morning. I'm doing great, thanks. Excited for the NFL to kick off tonight, I suppose, and get things started.
Yeah, what a game we've got for us this evening. The Bills and the Dolphins. I believe the Bills are an 11.5-point favorite. Yes, 11.5 points.
Should be a fun one.
The favorites tonight on Thursday Night Football, Joe, so that'll be good.
Yeah, this feels more like a, you know, old school bad Thursday Night Football game. I don't understand the logic. Even when the Dolphins have been good, they just get destroyed by the Bills.
Yeah.
Was it a couple of years ago, right? Like they put 70 in the Broncos, like they were rolling. It was like, oh my gosh. And they go up to Buffalo and they look like, you know, they just look like the most of what the Dolphins have looked like for the past 20 years. So why, like, I don't know if anybody realized they'd be as bad as they are. But even if they were good at Buffalo, it's not a competitive game.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go very well for them. And I do think that Mike McDaniel may have a strong case for the coach, the first coach that gets fired this year. I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but they look bad. And we've talked about some of the issues that they've got going on with them. But yeah, 7:15 tonight, the Buffalo Bills looking to go 3-0. I mean, Josh Allen like broke his nose last week, so I don't know. Maybe he can't see straight out there tonight or something. And he's off on a few passes. So they only win by 9 instead of 30, which is what I'm expecting tonight.
Yeah, he just got that reset real fast, went right back out there. I mean, the Jets and the Dolphins back-to-back, you know. Like for him, it's it's just basically like he gets to play catch, you know, for a couple straight weeks with the broken nose, I guess. No, that's too bad. And on the college front, you really don't have, it's Rice and Charlotte is the only game.
Get excited.
Yeah. There have been some decent Thursday weeks, but don't worry because on Friday you get Iowa Rutgers.
Oh, good.
So at least if you can hold out 24 hours to Iowa Rutgers, get that at Fox, 7 o'clock Friday.
Well, don't overlook Tulsa and Oklahoma State as well. You know, Gundy out there, he might actually win that game. We'll see. There's only a 12.5-point favorite against Tulsa.
At home. Yeah, that's a man. There's another guy who I don't know if he gets fired this year, but this has got to be it for him, right?
I mean, you would think it's got to be pretty close. Like, I understand that he's the guy in that program and that they've loved him for a long time. But at some point, like, doesn't you just wear out your welcome somewhere eventually? Like, he's been there for 20-some-odd years.
Yeah. Well, this would be one of those things where they try to make it so he steps down,
right,
quote-unquote,
exactly,
on his own, and they'd figure it out with the buyout, and then it's like he can have a good finish because he has meant a lot. But it's gotten pretty bad. Gotten pretty bad there.
Joe, we can confirm that Rams head coach Sean McVay, who injured himself on the sideline at Nissan Stadium on Sunday against the Titans, will not need foot surgery. That has now been reported. After tearing the plantar fascia in his left foot while calling a timeout in the win against the Titans on Sunday, no worries. Sean McVay's good. No surgery required.
I think I have a foot thing.
Well, that's good. I mean, have you guys ever had plantar fasciitis?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I had it for a summer. I had it for a summer. Of course I did. Had most ailments. But it's awful, man. I mean, the pain of just having plantar fasciitis, I'm trying to think of tearing the – I didn't even really think that was – I don't know that I've even heard of that. Tearing the plantar fascia?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe fasciitis is like a partial tear, I guess, right? Maybe that's – but that sounds awful, but good for him.
I'm just glad there's no surgery. I don't know that I've heard of a coach – in the National Football League, much less like a 39-year-old coach, tears plantar fascia, calling a timeout in the NFL. It just shows that, you know, how committed Sean McVay is.
He loves ball, man.
Like,
he
if you told ball. Me Rex Ryan did that at one point, I'd be like, yep, all right, that sounds good. Sean McVay's in good shape, man. He's young pup out there.
Yeah, I think Rex Ryan in any foot story probably would fly. I'd probably believe it. Sorry.
What was more painful, plantar fasciitis or gout?
Gout.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
So plantar fasciitis, nothing compared to the gout.
No, it hurts, you know. It hurts, but you can stretch it out and, you know, you wake up in the morning, it's really, it's like needles, but then you can kind of get that better. But yeah, if you get the gout, man, it's just there until you flush it out, you know.
Another NFL news, Brock Purdy, quote, has a chance to return this week for the San Francisco 49ers as they take on the Arizona Cardinals. Mac Jones, playing quarterback for San Francisco last week, Joe, did a nice job stepping in there. Luckily for the 49ers, they were playing the New Orleans Saints, so they were able to get away with Brock Purdy not playing in the game and Mac Jones getting out there and looking like a competent quarterback under Kyle Shanahan and company, but there is at least a chance that Brock Purdy could be out there again this week as they take on divisional rival, the 2-0 Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, definitely don't want to overreact at all. But, I mean, Mac Jones did look good.
He did.
You know? I know that some people, like when Brock Purdy was coming up, it's like, yeah, like any quarterback could look good, you know, in that system with all those guys. I'm like, well, but Trey Lance didn't, so not any could look good, but I don't know.
I mean, 279, three touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so what? Third stop for him? Maybe he's just a third stop guy. Quarterback controversy.
Maybe so. I mean, look, Mac, I mean, what is he? 27, probably? 27. That's how old he is. So he's a young guy in the NFL. I mean, he could have another 10 years left in him, Joe. We could see Mac Jones circling the league for a long time, or excuse me, McCorkle which is his middle name, Michael McCorkle Jones.
That's a great name. Hey, man, I mean, you know, think about it. Like, there was a time when there was so much hope for him, and he was, you know, he and Belichick were going to get that thing going. And then, you know, I do, like, I feel like anybody should get some kind of grace or asterisk if, like, most of their issues have been around Matt Patricia. Although I know everybody now thinks he's a genius again. So because his defense did not as well against Arch Manning as UTEP did.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite 5 stars at every position, but he's great now.
6-1-5.
I don't know how this turns into a rip on Matt Patricia, but it usually isn't too far from that.
I mean, he's catching them. It's not even a stray. Like, it's a direct shot.
Just right turn, right into Matt Patricia.
That's right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We will have our best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, and Joe's got a very simple question. If you're Brian Callahan and you're looking for some help, what's out there when it comes to this roster? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Saturday's college football game of the week is Auburn taking on Oklahoma at 2:30 on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We will have our best and worst things in sports later this hour at 6:45, so we'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. So, Joe, let me just be clear. I totally misinterpreted the topic you were throwing out there on the last segment, so let me just go ahead and revise that real quick. We're not going to talk about the roster right now, but we can if you want to. What I'm looking at, tell me if I'm wrong, are you referring to Callahan? If this doesn't work out, who is actually out there to get excited about?
Yeah, so in other words,
I can't read, sorry. That's what the real story is here.
Well, or it's that I try to do riddles instead of just like spelling out a topic clearly. So I just noticed this question a fair amount, and it's one of those things where it's like, well, that's irrelevant. But then I thought about it, it's like, well, it is. I mean, it is part of the equation, which is okay. So an increasing number of people want Callahan out. So is there anybody out there that people are excited about? Because, like, again, last year, Ben Johnson, for example, you know, there's an obvious one. And it had been a couple years with him. Sometimes guys stay, and then you build up the momentum, you know. And I feel like there's guys like that every year. And I feel like this year, you know, things will develop this season. But, like, there's no one. If you want to keep doing this, which is, okay, offensive coach, quarterback-related play caller, right? If that's what you want to keep doing, I think it's really slim pickings. Now, I know sometimes people fire someone and they immediately look for the opposite in some way. So, okay, there are defensive guys out there. I mean, I think, you know, Flores is going to get another shot at some point, I think. You know, there's other, like, you know, Vance Joseph, does he get another shot? The Ravens DC, there's people like that. But is that, I mean, you know, again, with Cam Ward, do you have to have the QB play calling coach? Or is it okay to look for someone else, to look for more of a quote-unquote culture coach if you're firing him? And again, I know I'm moving ahead, but I'm really kind of, I think this is part of the equation too. It's a lesser part, but it's part of it, which is, okay, what would be out there to be excited about?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I will tell you the name that I have, and there's a couple of them that I've heard the most often from Titans fans that I have seen either online or that we've seen on our text line, or who have some of my friends have even talked about. The name that I've heard the most is the name that is not going to happen, and that is John Gruden. Like, I feel like John Gruden is, he's going to be everybody's next head coach. Like, Virginia Tech fans are talking about him. You know, Florida fans are talking about him. Apparently, it's big time groomer season going on right now. So that ain't happening. I mean, he's in a lawsuit with the NFL. It's not going to happen here. So you can forget about John Gruden. John Gruden is not happening. So
like the Flores stuff. Like, I think that's But I think the Gruden stuff right now is that's not, like you said, he's going to be a college coach.
Yeah.
I think next year. But yeah, you're right. That is the name I've heard
the most.
That's
the name I've heard the most. The one I've heard next most, and there's another one right now. Shane on Twitter says, four letters, one word, Cliff Kingsbury. And look, what he's done in Washington is very impressive, right? Like he is. That offense last year with Jaden Daniels as a rookie was really good. And, you know, we talked to Charles Robinson about it. Some of the stuff they were doing with him was awesome. And we'll see what that looks like this year with him as well. I also know, Joe, that Cliff Kingsbury, both as a head coach in college and as a head coach in the NFL, didn't do a whole lot of winning, right? There's not a whole lot of winning that's gone on with Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach. Now, look, he's a young guy, and just because he was a head coach in college and the NFL before and it didn't necessarily work out all that great doesn't mean that eventually he can't turn into that guy. But just me personally, those are the two names that I see Titans fans discussing the most, Gruden, which ain't happening, and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I'd be real buyer beware on Cliff Kingsbury. He's a smart guy, and obviously it's gone well. I do look at that, and it's like, how much of that is, you know, is it him making the player look good or the player making him look good?
Right.
I think that's a fair question to ask. Like you said, he hasn't had success. And also I think it's a very similar probably vibe and everything, right? Again, maybe that's kind of what if you're going that route, most of them are young guys and they're kind of, you know, more of the laid back approach, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
But boy, it just seems so similar. Hey, if you believe that he's really good and that's a big upgrade for Cam, then okay, fine. But I don't know, man. I think Jaden Daniels might be making him look good. Joe Brady is also, you know, the Bills OC. You know, some people want to, he took over for Ken Dorsey like midway through 23. And so it's like, how much credit does he get for sort of elevating things? They were actually struggling a bit at that point, which is hard to even remember.
Yep.
But they have had ups and downs. It's been really good. So he's another one. He's very young too. Not sure that, I don't think he's in his 40s. You know, there are people already talking about this Josh Grizzard. I mean, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Apparently head coach factory. Yeah.
Well, yeah, first of all, I mean, Todd Bowles must be pretty good. I mean, he keeps losing these, these OCs, and he's like, all right, come on, you come in here too, and I'll get you a head coaching job. You know, and obviously Baker, there's another probably example too of a quarterback making a OC look better. But I just like these are not, to me, they are, I mean, Brian Callahan and his hiring cycle was better on paper than these guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I think to your overall point, I don't know that there is like the one guy out there where you're going to be like, yes, him, you have to go get him, right? Like I if everybody had their choice last year, I mean, Ben Johnson was the name, right? It was like, well, we got to go get Ben Johnson. And we know he got paid an exorbitant amount of money from the Chicago Bears.
And the year before, he stood up Washington and they were ready to give him half their franchise. That was a year earlier.
Exactly.
Totally different than now.
I mean, there's no one like that. And we'll, look, I have no idea how good or not good Ben Johnson is going to be. We're two games in Chicago, and he clearly doesn't like some of the things going on with this team, but we're a long way from seeing the finished product with Ben Johnson. But the point is, like I don't, if you're a Titans fan and you're wondering where this is all going here with Brian Callahan, I don't know that there's one guy you point to right now that's like, it has to be him. Like, I don't know that that guy exists at the moment. Doesn't mean there's not, you know, good head coaching candidates out there, and it doesn't mean you can't find somebody that ends up coming in and doing a great job. But there's nobody like Ben Johnson that people are just clamoring for as of this moment.
Right. So someone asked about Monken. Yeah. Nagy. I mean, you know, Jeff from Manassas said, well, if you make the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky, you're probably a good coach. Yeah. I suppose that there is something fair. Someone bring up Jay Gruden. When's the last time he worked in the league?
I don't know.
You got to go for Gruden light? Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man.
That's not Diet the Gruden I expected to hear today. Yeah.
No, McCarthy is brought up a lot, and right? I mean, obviously, there's a history with Borgonzi. You know him well. I mean, you probably thought he was a better maybe you still do, coached in LaFleur for a long time. What about him?
Well, look, I think McCarthy is a good coach. Now, some of the, as you know, some of the in-game stuff sometimes, like just in terms of your normal head coach, oh, like why in the world is he not calling a timeout, or like what does he not understand that the clock is ticking? Like some of that, some of those things happen with McCarthy sometimes that get a little weird. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good offensive guy. I don't know that he would be my first choice. Like, I think you could do a whole lot worse than Mike McCarthy, let me put it that way. But I don't know that I'd be sitting here if I'm the Titans right now thinking to myself, well, you know what? We got to get rid of Ryan Callahan because Mike McCarthy's out there, and we better strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I like that probably better than the idea of, like, another exact same type of hire, the OC, and let's hope it works out. I mean, I just feel, you know, I feel like it's starting to tilt a little bit toward, like, you know, more and more of these guys aren't working out, you know, a lot of them still do. But that's the thing, too. It's like, because of Cam Ward, do you have to have that profile of coach? Like, what, yeah, what would, you know, if you have a really good, you know, what, again, culture coach, basically everybody on defense, people look at them that way, right? I mean, it's not necessarily the case, but like, someone's throwing out Jesse Minter, which is amazing because like 2 years ago he was Clark Lee's DC at Vandy.
Yeah,
but that's how it works. I mean, you shoot up so fast as a hot coordinator, and sometimes it's just because you happen to have so much at your disposal. I mean, Arthur Smith is something people are throwing out there. Arthur Smith's good. I think he's a good OC. It didn't go well as a head coach, but when he got himself elevated, look at what he had to work with here.
No, I agree. And look, you can make the argument on the Arthur Smith front of when he was the head coach in Atlanta. Look what he had to work with. I mean, it was Marcus.
You should have gone better. Yeah.
And Desmond Ridder.
Oh, well, that's true. Yes, at quarterback for sure. Yes. They had skill that they didn't take advantage of, which, yeah,
sure,
some people blamed him. But there's another example, like, well, or is it because he didn't have the guy throwing the ball?
615-737-1025. Is our phone number, 615-737-1025. If the Titans have to end up moving off of Brian Callahan at some point, is there anybody out there that's actually exciting if you're a Titans fan? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville with first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Joe, we have a vote for could Josh Heupel make the move up to the NFL on the YouTube channel?
Ooh, I see Heupel and Clarkley. There you go. You got successful college coaches. By the way, I know we've talked about both, I think, separately, but I actually don't think either one of those guys would go to the NFL. Heupel would be more likely, I think. But I think they're lifetime college guys.
I don't think the NFL's calling Josh Heupel. That's just me. I think there's too many differences in the way the offenses are run from what he does in college to what you can do in the NFL. I don't think he would be on the NFL's radar.
Yeah, there was some buzz in 22. Just if you're that dominant with your offense, right? And it's like, and you have all these players, it's like, it looks like you're developing all these players and having them play over their heads. But it would take like that kind of run, because like you said, like you're certainly going to have to tailor it to the rules, and it's going to be very different.
Right.
But Josh Heupel is also, you know, he has coached other schemes too.
Yeah, he has. I'm just saying, like, I don't
got him fired at Oklahoma, but he's still.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, yeah. So, like, I don't know that I'd worry about that if I was a Tennessee fan. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, it kind of feels like Heupel and Lee are college guys, and they're where they're going to be for the foreseeable future here. Like, I'm looking around, you know, a lot of thoughts about McCarthy. Like, again, I think he's a good coach. And he's won a Super Bowl. That's the first thing people are going to point to. I get it. That was a long time ago at this point.
Did he develop Rodgers?
If you want to give him credit for some of that, sure, yeah. Like, I think, you know, the thing is, though, like, the moment Rodgers stepped in, like, as a starter, he was just really good, right? Like, it just from the opening jump that he stepped in, he was really good.
So, I mean, you could give McCarthy some credit for that, I guess, but I just think it was more the case of the dude sat there for 3 years, and by the time he sat in there, he's ready to go. Like, McCarthy with the Cowboys, that would be probably the thing I would look at the most. Like, what do we make of that? Because, I mean, early on especially, they won a lot of games, right? Like, he won a lot of games as the head coach of the Cowboys.
Performance.
And then it would fall apart in the playoffs, right? And I know, look, if you're a Titans fan, you're like, well, cool, let's fall apart in the playoffs. Let's get there, right? Like exactly. Like, I'm not worried about the playoffs right now. Let's eventually worry about that. So I understand that part of it. Again, I'm not, you know, diametrically opposed to the idea of Mike McCarthy. I don't know that I would put him in the category of, oh, yes, Mike McCarthy must have. Like, they got to go hire Mike McCarthy for Cam Ward.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad option, but it's not, to me, exciting. Because, you know, look, a lot of times, too, I mean, everybody's, again, copycatting, trying to keep up all constantly, constant cycle of that. But also some people, you know, a few years ago maybe had a little bit, had more answers than they do now, right, and things like that. I still think the biggest answer is talent. Jeff from Nebraska says, how depressing is it that it's a September 18th and we're talking about head coaching candidates for the Titans? What a miserable existence. Yeah, but again, I think this is just something to consider in the whole discussion of, you know, and I'm not saying this is why you keep Brian Callahan no matter what, but I do think sometimes just fire in whatever job in sports, you know, fire this person without any, you know, sort of idea of who might clearly be an upgrade, you know, is, well, sometimes it's not the best move.
And here's the other side of this, because I know we don't want to talk about this all the time. And what about, like, how do people view the Titans? Like, let's use McCarthy as the same example, right? Like, is McCarthy, is he wanting to get back in the league and be a head coach no matter what, no matter where it is? Or is McCarthy going to be, like, relatively selective about the jobs that he would take? And if so, like, where do the Titans fall on that? Because, like, from the outside, let's say they do fire Brian Callahan. You know, from the outside looking in, you're looking at a roster that's not very good. You're looking at an organization that's done a whole lot of losing over the last few years. And you're also, Joe, looking at an organization that has fired people all the time, right? Like, it's just, it's been a revolving door of people getting fired. Now, it's one of 32, and we talk about that all the time. Like, you'll find somebody to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But are you attracting the best candidates who have options? That is what I want to know. And if does Cam Ward at the end of the year, is he enough of a factor in that where you are attracting the best candidates who have options because they look at your franchise and they say, well, there's a lot of things I don't like, but they do have a quarterback I feel pretty good about, and that's ultimately the biggest part of it.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge part of it because, obviously, I know it's different ownership, but, like, Washington's dysfunction was just decades.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, that quarterback, all of a sudden it looks like a different job. Yeah, I mean, I see people on here too doing the hope, like, Tomlin, is this finally it for Tomlin? Tomlin and Byron Leftwich, says Ron.
All right.
AI version of Bill Walsh. That's not a bad idea. Okay. Guy who made a pretty good quarterback, Joe Montana. Amazing. So, all right, that's overstated. No, I mean, you're right. It's like the attractiveness of the job. It is 132, but, like, whether you believe him at all or not, like, if this does go bad for Brian Callahan, I guarantee you that, like, in his conversations with his circle, it's like, yeah, that I shouldn't have taken that one, you know, because
he probably thinks that deep down.
Well, you know, it's like, I think he could have gotten the Carolina job. Now, at that time, and I guess you could still say it now, like, if you want to talk about ownership issues, right? Like, yeah, that's probably the most poisonous place you could ever choose to go. But also, I mean, that meant he was also choosing Will Levis over Bryce Young. I know Bryce Young, now it's back to, I don't know, it's not great. I kind of thought maybe they'd start, you know, going in the other direction. But still, like, that's, I mean, I would never do that, pick Will Levis over Bryce Young. I never would have, for sure. I mean, I guess I still wouldn't now, but it's just that maybe neither of them would be near the top of who I'd choose.
Yeah, like, again, it's not like the Titans aren't going to find a head coach because they're one of 32. And I think sometimes the how attractive of the, is the job part of this gets overblown in the NFL. But I will say, like, you know, there are certain franchises you look at and it's like, huh. Like, let's go back to the Ben Johnson example. Like, is Ben Johnson taking just any job? Clearly not. He didn't take the Washington job, right? So, like, there were – now, you could make the argument.
Oh, he made an interesting choice.
Yeah, I was like, why didn't you go to the Bears? Like, but I know why he went to the Bears. It's the quarterback. Like, he's got belief in Caleb Williams. So, maybe that's all it takes for the Titans. Yeah, at least he did have belief in Caleb Williams. You know, at the end of the day, if Cam Ward's good this year and there's enough positive signs, even if they're – let's say their record is just awful and they end up moving on from Callahan – but you look at the film and you look at the tape of Cam Ward and you're like, you know what, I can work with this guy. Well, that's probably going to be as important or more important than anything else when it comes down to it. So you've at least got that hopefully in your back pocket if you're the Titans. I just – there's a lot. When you start talking about – and I think this is kind of the general point I'm making. When you start talking about the bad franchises in the NFL right now, right? Like the Browns are always going to come up. The Jets are always going to come up. I mean, up until recently, the Lions would have come up, and they've flipped that.
That'll happen
like,
again soon.
But, like, right now, you're one of them, right? Like, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, right now, the Titans are one of those bad franchises in the NFL. And it doesn't mean they have to always stay there, but that's where they're at right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, like or not, I mean, most people around the NFL – I know some Titans fans hate it, and they hate it being brought up, but most people around the NFL still think it was completely idiotic to fire Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
And most coaches think that, I promise you. And so, you know, I mean, he's very respecting the, I think, on the coaching side of things. So it's like that alone, it's like, so, well, man, why am I going into that if that's the decision-making process? And then if you really look closely, that all the volatility and then just consistent bad, you know, just seems like a top-down issue. So, but yeah, then it gets into so if there is a hot candidate, which again we have determined right now there isn't. Maybe Tampa Bay goes nuts and Baker has his best year, even better than last year, and this Grizzard, you know, who's like 33, yeah, is like, oh, he's. But I mean, I don't think that there's anybody that obvious. If there is someone, or if there are, you know, there one or two who emerge, yeah, I think that their list would probably be. If you're on the Titans, but Cam is that's the sweetener, right? Like if it's like, you know what, he's too good. And if you're that good there, you can overcome a lot of incompetence elsewhere. Maybe that tilts it back.
Here's what I'll say though. And I think a lot of Titans fans would probably disagree with this, and that's fine. I don't really, if it goes poorly with Callahan the rest of the way and they end up having to move on, I am not married to the idea that the next head coach has to be like the next offensive play calling guru guy. Like, just go hire the best coach. Like, if you,
I don't
like,
disagree.
Yeah, like go hire the best coach. And look, if you run into the problem where you lose your offensive coordinator a year or two down the road because he's doing such a good job that he's getting a head coaching job, well, worry about that then. But let's get out of this crap that we're in right now. Go hire the best coach available if it comes to that. I'm not. If it's an offensive guy, great. But I'm not married to the idea that, well, you can't consider, like, I don't know, like, what if the Packers defense is, like, historically good this year and Jeff Hafley's a head coach next year? Like, if you think he's the best guy for the job, go get him. Like, I don't think it has to be an offensive guy.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Like, if you're a really good coach, part of that is your eye for talent and hiring people.
Right.
So, right, like, now look, that's, and by the way, that's, I think, probably the fairest of all the things, you know, people want to put the injury stuff on him. I don't, like, he ran him into the ground. I think the fair criticism of Vrabel is some of his choices for assistant jobs, you know, and that's how you get yourself in trouble with a defensive guy, is you make some bad hires on the other side of the ball, you know, and that, although the talent was a big part of it too, but yeah, look, like I would trust Mike Tomlin to have, he knows everybody in the league, he's been head coach forever, to be able to bring in a good coordinator.
We do have a vote from a Dolphins fan on Twitter, Joe, that says, yeah, Mike McDaniel would be a good spot for the Titans to go get.
There you go.
Anything to get him out of here. Go to the Titans.
Run the analytics department.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
To motivate, because you know, you could make this the worst. The fact that the Detroit Tigers are completely choking. They've let a, you know, 16.5 game lead get down to 4.5 with 10 games left. Cleveland still has 3 games at home, plus Cleveland's at Detroit today. They are threatening to have one of the biggest all-time collapses in baseball history. But it's the best thing in sports because Terry Skubel goes today. He's on the mound. All he has to do is win one game, and it's basically over. That's my best thing. They're not going to send me into a complete and utter panic because they're going to win today. So there you go. There's my best in sports. My worst, yeah, this is, we could talk about this more. I just have to quickly say, so Nashville SC, it's awesome. They have advanced to the Open Cup final, October 1st, which is great. I mean, they've had an incredible year. Sam Surridge is he's going to be the MVP. But in this release, it says Nashville SC has the chance to become the first professional sports team in history to win a championship. I just, I'll expose my soccer ignorance, but I don't think this would count as that. So that's my worst.
Yeah, I mean, we could get down a whole rabbit hole with that. It's like, well, a championship. First off, there's like 1,000 tournaments in soccer. Secondly, I've talked about this before, and I know this makes some of my Nashville SC friends mad, but I'm sorry. It's the way I feel. Like, Major League Soccer, and I realize this is not exclusively a Major League Soccer tournament, but Major League Soccer is like the 8th best soccer league in the world, depending on who you ask. Like, some people think it's like 11th. So, I'm sorry. It's not the same thing as winning a championship in the NFL or the NHL. I'm sorry. It's just not. So, if you want to get mad at me at that, that's fine.
Get mad at us both.
Get mad. Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Although there's a couple of good ones here this week. I won't steal all of them for you, Robbie.
Do whatever you want.
No, I mean, the Vrabel sideline.
That's pretty sweet.
Rundown. Mm-hmm. I mean,
nice.
Legit. I mean, obviously the Cam Ward touchdown. Pretty legit as far as best. I think I'm going to go a double. I'm going to pull a Joe here. Go double best and worst for the same guy. How about this New York Giants tackle? James Hudson, 4 penalties on the opening drive, 2 unnecessary roughness, 2 false starts, almost got pulled, then got pulled, slapped a dude in the face.
It was unbelievable.
It was, it was hilarious. Just glorious. So I'm going to go with that guy. Best and worst in the same week, in the same drive. Nicely done, nice. New York Giants tackle James Hudson.
I love it.
He wanted to fight some dudes on his team, too.
He did. It was pretty incredible.
It was hilarious. It was so funny.
I have to, I just saw this a few minutes ago. You know, I remember, this is my best thing because it's hilarious to me. I remember when Lincoln Riley took the USC job, and he talked about, I think the quote he used was making it the mecca of college football again, the Coliseum out there. Well, that, you know, they got a game, as you know, against Michigan State this week, Joe. And Lincoln Riley has put a statement out along with Chad Bowden, the general manager of USC football, that basically when you read through it is like begging fans to show up for the game. It's like our students have to be the tip of the spear. It's going to be late. It's going to be dark. It's going to be a battle. But if we work together, it will be unforgettable out there at the Coliseum. So basically nobody's showing up to watch USC play, and now they're having to write letters to the fans to get people out there for Lincoln Riley and how much of the mecca college football he's going to turn it into.
That, you know what, I'm so glad I didn't see that. I've had so many I think USC fans screaming at me in the comments of this column I wrote about it. And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, no one ever cares about us out here. Why don't we get a – I'm like, you're telling me that you want a game at 8 p.m. that lets out about midnight? I don't think anybody's out there used to that. They're used to like, yeah, it's a 5 o'clock. That's perfect.
Right.
8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock local. You know, you can go out and have a late dinner after the game. I mean, I think that's what we're going to see is a terrible – it's not going to be UCLA levels where, like, the greatest stadium in the country – has 10 people because it takes the students an hour to bus from the UCLA campus, you know, but it might be rough. It's people out there, man. Well, you know, it's hard to get, especially at those massive stadiums that are way too big now.
Big 10 after dark. Didn't quite have the same feel to it as the Pac-12 after dark.
No. And the Pac-12 doesn't even exist. So I guess this is what we have to settle for.
My worst thing in sports, Joe, something I thought we were done with in the NFL. And now it looks like we may get a double dose of it this weekend. I know Carson Wentz is going to play football this weekend. And there's a pretty good chance Marcus Mariota is going to play some football this weekend too. Jaden Daniels is hurt, dealing with a knee injury. No guarantee as to whether or not he's missing the game. But there's a chance we would have to watch Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota play football this weekend, Joe. And I am not here for it.
Oh, man. That should be a best.
No.
The Marcus part, pretty good quarterback.
No, but, you know, I've seen him enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch a whole lot more.
It is. Another, on top of that, just like, I mean, Burrow could be a good worst, right? We're already getting
terrible
injuries to quarterbacks and the key players in the league.
But specifically my eyes, I don't want to watch Carson Wentz and Marcus Mariota play football this weekend. I'm sorry.
I'd like a matchup of that. Think about like the incredible, what was that? That was Vrabel's first year, right? 2018.
Yeah.
Wentz was like coming off his MVP
that was
year.
A great game.
Marcus. Yeah. Oh, Marcus to Corey Davis. My goodness. 7 years later, it's like, please no more. Good best from Mark and Ashley City is Vandy. I think Vandy football is a good
best.
He also says the worst is Billy Napier's continued employment for my beloved Gators.
Well, that
may not be long.
It's probably going to take another hit this weekend as they take on Miami on the road. So pretty good chance Florida's dropping to 1-3. We'll see what that looks like this weekend. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I've said it multiple times this week. The Tennessee Titans are beating the Indianapolis Colts. We'll explain how it's going to happen and some fuel added to the fire yesterday in Indianapolis. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.